Leader. ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಾ ಕೇರಿ ವರ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಾ ಕೇರಿ ವರ ಜಯ ಸೌರನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನಹಂಸಾಯ ಸೌರನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನಹಂಸಾಯ ಜಮುನ ಧೀರ ಭಾರ ಶಾಹಿ ಜಮುನ ಜಮುನ ಧೀರ ಭಾರ ಶಾಹಿ ಜಮುನ ಹೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರ ಹೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರ ಹೇ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಕೇರಿ ವರ ಧಾಮ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಕೇರಿ ವರ ಧಾಮ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಸೌರನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನಹಂಸಾಯ ಸೌರನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನಹಂಸಾಯ ಜಮುನ ತೀರ ಜಮುನ ತೀರ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರ ಹೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರ ಹೇ Jai Radha Vrindavan Hari Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radhe Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radhe Jai Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Nithai Gaur Haribol 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 Nithai Gaur Haribol Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, verse number 10. Iti cha yoksa jesasya prittos tu paramodayam asuyan bhagavan indra pratigratam achikarat iti cha Chadoksha Jade Sasya Prittas to Paramodayam Asuyam Bhagavan Indra Patrigratam Achitkarat Iti Chadoksha Jade Sasya Prittas tu paramodayam asuyan bhagavan indra patigratham achitkarat. Iti, thus, cha, also, ahogsa ja isasya, who accepted ahogsa ja as his worshipful Lord, Prito, of King Prithu, two, then, Parama, the topmost, Udayam, opulence, asuyan, being envious of, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Indra, the king of heaven. I'm sorry, the most powerful, Indra, the king of heaven. Pratigratam, impediments, achikarat, made. So here, Prithu Maharaj is performing his horse sacrifice. Indra is feeling unhappy. King Prithu was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Ahogsaja. Because King Prithu performed so many sacrifices, he was superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. King Prithu's opulence, however, could not be tolerated by the King of Heaven, Indra, who tried to impede the progress of his opulence. Purport. In this verse, there are three significant purposes expressed in the word Ahogsaja, Bhagavan Indra, and Prithu. King Prithu is an incarnation of Vishnu, yet he is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Although an empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is nonetheless a living entity. As such, he must be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is an incarnation, he should not forget his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, there are many self-made incarnations, rascals, who declare themselves to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where Bhagavan Indra indicates that a living entity can even be as exalted and as powerful as King Indra, for even King Indra is an ordinary living entity in the material world and possesses the four defects of the conditioned soul. King Indra is described here as Bhagavan, which is generally used in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, however, King Indra is addressed as Bhagavan because he has so much power in his hands. Despite his becoming Bhagavan, he is envious of the incarnation of God, Prithu Maharaj. The defects of material life are so strong that due to contamination, King Indra becomes envious of an incarnation of God. We should try to understand, therefore, how a conditioned soul becomes fallen. The opulence of King Prithu was not dependent on material conditions. As described in his verse, he was a great devotee of Ahoksaja. The word Ahoksaja indicates that the personality of Godhead, who is beyond the expression of the mind in words. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears before his devotee in his original form of eternal bliss and knowledge. The devotee is allowed to see the Supreme Lord face to face, although the Lord is beyond the expression of our senses and beyond our direct perception. Om Gyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Saptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimak Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvadi Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pasyatya De Sitarine Pancha Kaupa Tarubhischa Kriva Sindhu Paevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very interesting part of this particular Leela of King Prithu here. He now wants to satisfy the Lord by performing the Aswamedha Yajna, the horse sacrifices, which is one of the means to offer sacrifice to the Lord, especially for those in the royal order of life. Kings and other powerful personalities worship the Lord through these Aswamedha Yajnas. He has performed 99 Yajnas. Now he's about to perform his 100th Yajna. But there seems to be some a little interference here. The King of Heaven, who has noted for his Yajnas also, King Indra, is a little worried that he'll be surpassed, or maybe we might say King Prithu might be seen on the same level as King Indra. And therefore he's feeling unhappy. And his unhappiness takes the form of activity that is actually not done by great personalities. He steals something. Not only does he steal, but he hides his identity in a form that is of a saintly person, a sannyasi. So his unhappiness is a symptom of envy. And this quality of envy is here, even great personalities such as Lord Indra, who is very powerful. Why should be he envious? He has so much power, he has so much facility, he has so much glorification. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the prayers fifth chapter describes the different gradations of living entity. And Indra is considered to be on a very highly elevated. So in order to get that post of Indra, you have to be a great personality. So he's not a small personality in no sense, and nor is his responsibilities in ruling the heavenly realm which means to manifest his energies to make sure that the living entities in the material world are getting whatever they need according to the arrangements of material energy. Quite powerful, quite worshipable. But somehow he still remains unsatisfied. You might think, wow, how is that possible? With all this power, with all this facility at his hands, with all the glory that comes with that, and the heavenly realm is full of material happiness, still, he shows a sense of dissatisfaction. Hard to understand that. You would think, well, if I had so much power and facility and fame and glory, I'd be satisfied. But he's not. He sees someone who's going to equal him in his yogis, and therefore he's unhappy. But his unhappiness is not just a simple unhappiness. He actually takes action in such a way that he commits a great offense. And his offense is not only towards King Prithu, but also towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the recipient of these yogis, and he's preventing that yoga to be performed. So you can imagine the gravity of that offense, very deep. And we see here that this principle of envy travels all the way up to the highest realms of material existence, even those who are known as great devotees of the Lord. Envy is a, Prabhupada's use would say, somehow you can dovetail lust in Krishna consciousness, you can dovetail anger in Krishna. In other words, these things can be used for service. Greed also can be used in the service of the Lord. And pride, not as much, but there is still elements that one can, that pride also can be used. But Prabhupada said, matsarya, envy, not possible. That has to be destroyed completely. And why? Because this is the. Sometimes people say, "Well, what causes the living entity to fall to the material world?" And then this is the answer here: envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living, you might think, "Wow, here I am in the spiritual world. I'm with God. I have everything. I'm happy." But somehow or other, I want to be the center. And if you start thinking like that, then if that becomes strong, then Mayadavase Kachuha Bububai Jeev Krishna Dase Vishwash Kali Dana Nukan, you fall into the material world life after life, struggling to somehow or other fulfill the desires to be a great personality. And so this is ridiculous when you think about it in its practical definition. But it goes on. Living entities fall from the material world because of their envious of the Supreme Lord. And then that same envy causes competition in this material world. So you find it everywhere within society, even in spiritual circles. People get envious of others' achievements, others' positions, others' abilities. And sometimes it becomes so disturbing to the person that they want to do something in order to take the other person down. And so here we have the example at Indra. He disguises himself as a sannyasi. Now, a sannyasi is a person who is considered to be a person who works for the benefit of others, and is also accepting worship because of his position and his service. But now he's taking the position of a sannyasi, but what is he doing? He's more like a rogue. So he's actually destroying or the credibility of the sannyasi ashram. So he's called a kapata? I forgot, yeah, kapata sannyasi. In dress only, but nothing else. And therefore, we see, as it goes on in the verses, King Prithu's son, He's alerted by Atri Muni. Atri Muni sees the whole thing. And Atri Muni, he notifies his King Prithu's son, this is what's happening. And you should go after Indra and punish him. And so he does. But when he's chasing Indra, he sees Indra has become a sannyasi. He thinks, oh, I can't do harm to a sannyasi. So he backs off. But Atri Muni comes up again and says, no, no. He's a rascal, kill him. It's not a sannyasi. It's Indra and his program to destroy, you know, King Prithu's reputation or to minimize his reputation. And so he continues, and then when Indra sees that he's being, you know, attacked, he gets rid of his sannyas garb, he disappears and leaves the horse behind. The horse is again brought back. Of course, as you read on, it happens again. Indra doesn't give up. His envy stays with her. So this is the material world. And you see, Prabhupada talks about how Brihaspati, his wife, was captured by Chandra in order to have some sexual relationships with the wife of Brihaspati. And that's the heavenly planets. These are highly intelligent personalities who have big positions in serving the Lord. And what are they doing? They're no better than ordinary, you know, sinful people. So unless you actually come to the stage of pure devotional service, the tendency to fall into material activities or even the consciousness that leads to material activities still is available or prominent. So therefore, the process of devotional service is a continual process of purification. It doesn't stop at a certain level. One should not think, well, I have made enough advancement, therefore I'm advanced enough, I don't have to work as hard as I used to work. Now I can sit back and get maha plates and tell people what to do. No, it's not like that. It's like the process of purification continues. We have the example of another example in the Shastras. It's not mentioned in the revealed scriptures, but it's a story that goes on in Vaishnav circles. One great personality, I believe his name was Rupa Raghunath or some Rupa Kaviraj or something. And he was a great orator of the scriptures, so much so that when he would give lessons, so many people would come to hear and they would be rapt in his attention on his scriptures. He would speak so eloquently and so deep in on the understanding. Now, he was on a very high platform of spiritual life. Now, one time when Mataji, she was a great devotee. Her name was Krishna Priya, I believe her name was. She came to sit into his lecture. And Krishna Priya had the characteristic or qualities that she could never stop chanting Hare Krishna. She was always chanting Hare Krishna, wherever, 24 hours a day. Such a great personality. So she sat towards the back and she was chanting Hare Krishna and sitting in his lecture. And then he's seeing, oh, this person has come to my lecture and they're chanting the holy name while I'm giving a class. That means they're not listening to my class. And so he became disturbed. He didn't recognize that she was such a great personality and she was absorbed in the holy name. And he found fault with her, and so much so that during the class he pointed that out in public to everyone, and he started to find fault with her. Krishna Priya didn't do anything. She just continued to sit there and chant. She didn't respond. She remained very humble. But he was very aggressive, and after some time, he fell down from his position. He was on the platform of bhava, very high elevated, almost on the platform of perfection. And because of his offense to this great soul, because of his enviousness, this is very important to understand. It's not a small thing. As you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you become more and more powerful. That power may manifest itself in different ways: abilities, intelligence, facilities, and various other, what we say, benefits that one may occur because of one's advancement in devotional service. But if one sees that these things are the results of my advancement in devotional service, then that is called rangatarangini. It's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that taking the benefit of something that is the result of something, but not the something itself. In other words, the purification of the heart and the advancement in consciousness towards Krishna brings about various benefits from that on the external. This is Krishna also. Krishna rewards his devotee as he sees that. But if the devotee doesn't remain humble and understand that whatever success I have in my practice of Krishna consciousness is simply the mercy of my spiritual master. Simply the mercy of the Lord coming through the mercy of my spiritual master. Otherwise, if one takes the credit of whatever advancement or accomplishments one may perform in devotional service, then that puts one on a very shaky platform. And if that continues, then padam padam, yeah, vipadam, one falls down again into this material consciousness. So it's very, we see the example here, and Indra is punished for his reactions also. Because he has such a high position and he has great responsibilities, somehow you'll see later on how this, that actually Indra is actually captured by the sun. But then Brahma comes and says, you know, to Prithu Maharaj, you know, just be satisfied with 99. You know, don't, you know, Indra's just going to cause more and more disturbances. So just be satisfied. And Prithu Maharaj, although he was qualified, although he had no motivation other than to serve the Lord in performing these sacrifices, still he accepted the authority of Lord Brahma. And he remained 99. He didn't perform that 100th sacrifice, just not to cause any more disturbance in the mind of Indra, which would cause other reactions. So you see how, when you look at the comparison, you'll see that although Prithu Maharaj is the king, and Indra is the king of all kings, at least in the heavenly realm, and he's worshipped on all levels, King Prithu is just taking the humble position and not causing any disturbance, although he had the right to continue to serve the Lord in that way. That was his privilege. That was his requirement. In other words, he had already attained that position where he could serve the Lord in that way, but in order to, and also to follow the instructions of Lord Brahma, his authority, he desisted from performing the last yajna. And therefore he's glorified for that. He's glorified for his humility and his obedience to superiors. Where Indra, he always gets himself in trouble, even attacks Lord Krishna, tries to cause some problems by causing a rainfall and trying to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So we shouldn't find fault with Indra, because it's just the fact that he has this great power, but there's this element of pride that somehow or other enters into that. And of course, he has suffered before. He lost his position, the King of Heaven, one time, due to his killing of Vitrasura. When he killed Vitrasura, he killed a Brahmin. Although he was asked to do that, and it was his service to carry it out on behalf of the demigods. He did it, but because killing of a brahmana is a very heinous offense, and that offense causes one to fall, and therefore he lost his position. So it's even more. This is interesting. You see, this is interesting. He was in service of the demigods and religious principles and fighting against Vitrasura, and he did his service, killed Vitrasura, which he was meant to do, but at the same time, he fell from his position because it was a Brahmin. Here, he's acting independently for his own selfish interest, and he's noted and he's captured, but there's no punishment. So you see, sometimes religious principles are hard to apply exactly in each and every circumstance. But here we see, But the glory of King Prithu is shown through this particular pastime, how glorious he is, that he does not respond in a negative way to Indra's activities. And he forgives Indra, and he's happy with his situation. But this element of envy, which we hear so much here, and it's mentioned so on, is a very destructive quality of the living entity. It causes one to become unhappy. and it can also cause one to act in the wrong way, which will be offensive to oneself and to others. So Prabhupada said, when one has to give up this envy. Prabhupada said, the difference between material life and spiritual life is the difference between envious and non-envious. That's a direct statement I made. And that statement is, Prabhupada said, spiritual life means non-envious, material life means envy. So that's the difference. So in the material world, it's a very difficult thing to get because the material world is based on competition. People are always in competition with each other. You sometimes, even in the families, I've seen situation where the wife is more qualified spiritually than the husband, and the husband gets envious of his wife. Yeah. And sometimes he becomes unhappy, and he loses his respect for his wife, because although she's not doing anything wrong, she's just more advanced than he is. He should use that as an impetus to become more advanced himself, saying, well, my wife is more advanced than me, I should also catch up, or try to catch up. Rather, but sometimes they become unhappy that the spouse, it happens sometimes the other way, but mostly it's the man becomes envious of the wife. Because the man thinks the wife should be subordinate, now she's superior in spiritual life. And people recognize that, and he's unhappy because of that. So I've seen it. I mean, I know different examples that I don't want to speak about, but it's there. So you can see how this envy, it's very, very insidious. It's a disease of the heart and a disease of the mind. So then again, what the next question is, how do you get rid of envy? Become Krishna conscious. That's the ultimate antidote, but ultimately there are principles that one can practice, and becoming the humble servant of the Vaishnavas, looking for opportunities to serve the devotees, this is the way one becomes free from the element of envy. When we serve the Vaishnavas for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, we put ourselves in a humble position, and therefore we can become satisfied by that service also, and therefore it's very hard to become envious, or that's the way to relieve the envy. Another way to become free from envy is to become satisfied for what Krishna gives you. Krishna gives everyone everything accordingly. His Holiness Radhana Swami gives a nice definition of a person's mentality who is envious. He says that If you feel envy, it's also directed towards the Supreme Person. Even though you might feel envy towards someone or some situation, that feeling of enviousness is actually directed towards Krishna. And he explains why. It's because Krishna is allowing that situation to go on the way it is. It's because Krishna is the ultimate controller in all situations. So Krishna may empower someone. Krishna may allow things to happen. And therefore, we don't like what Krishna does. So that's Maharaj's definition. I thought it was quite, what we say, a sweeping definition. That, wow, I'm feeling envy. But that envy is towards Krishna himself. Or the Supreme Personality of God is acting in a way that I don't like. Hare Krishna. then you're probably, you can discuss it with Krishna, but then you'll have to give up your idea no matter how great your arguments are. So one has to practice that. And if you... when it comes into the mind, one should immediately check it by dismissing it from the mind. And if it comes out in the form of words, then you're already moving in the wrong direction. And sometimes it comes out in the form of activities. Just like there's a good cook in the kitchen, and she's cooking so nicely, he's cooking so nicely. And everybody's praising their cooking. So you go in there and steal her vegetables so she can't cook. You know. That happens. This is not a make-believe analogy. It's happened before. It happens in spiritual circles. In the material world, I was reading one statement in the book authored by Gaur Gopal. He talks about one man in one particular corporation. He was very expert at doing his service and coming up with new ideas to increase the quality of the profit of the organization. But some of his co-workers became envious. So one day they went into his office and stole some of the stuff from his computer and did other things so he couldn't function accordingly. So in the material world, it becomes very strong. In fact, the material world is characterized by this quality of envy. But a devotee is non-envious. Why? Because the devotee is satisfied. Krishna may give me this, or Krishna may not give me this, but that's okay, that's Krishna. I'm happy. He's protecting me. He's given me the opportunity to serve. He's given me the opportunity to associate with devotees. He's giving me prasadam. He's given me so many things. So I should be satisfied. And when we see someone becoming more exalted, and then we should think, oh, wow, that is really nice. Krishna is really favoring that person. That means that person is very advanced. So we should think like that. And then the point goes on, is there envy in the spiritual world? And the answer is yes. But it doesn't have any enmity to it. Enmity is the negative aspect of envy, which one wants to do harm or do something to bring the other person down. But in the spiritual world, the envy, and Prabhupada uses the example of the gopis, will see another gopi serving Krishna so nicely, and Krishna is so pleased by that gopi's service that they think, oh, wow, I want to serve just like that other gopi, maybe even be better than her in my service, just to please Krishna. So who benefits? Krishna. So it becomes a competition that who can serve Krishna nicer. And whoever wins, whoever seems to be the most exalted in that activity, is glorified by the others. Oh, you serve Krishna even so nicely. So there is a spiritual competition, and who gains? Krishna. So that is spiritual envy, and that has no negativity about it. So it goes on in the spiritual world just to increase their service towards Krishna, like that. Competition to try to increase their service to please Krishna more and more. So that's spiritual envy. And we can also find that in here, that we see devotees who are serving so nicely, have nice positions, are getting opportunities for more and more service and advancement. We should appreciate that and think, let me be like them. Let me also make that advancement like that. So, but here we have the opposite. Anibo Envy. Poor Indra, I feel sorry for the guy. You know, he gets himself in trouble. You know, when he's a powerful personality. You can't take that away. As it says here, it mentions here, it says, Indra is addressed as Bhagavan because he has so much power in his hands. So he's given an exalted title, Bhagavan. And that's usually reserved to Lord Shiva or Lord Krishna or the personalities of Godhead. But Indra is also giving that title Bhagavan. But Prabhupada says, despite having that title, he's envious. So it's hard to figure out, but this is the way, and this is the... These are the elements that happen with great personalities sometimes. Okay, so I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question. I heard one pastime of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying that even if you become 70% Krishna conscious, still Krishna will take you.
Well, there's a whole story behind that.
Yeah, can you please?
The story is Prabhupada was speaking on, he was giving a class to a group of his devotees, and he said, and become fully Krishna conscious, and then you can go back home, back to Godhead. And the devotees looked like. And Prabhupada could recognize the devotees were not happy. He said, well, then 90%. And then devotees didn't move. Prabhupada said, all right, 80%. And then he could see. Then he said, 70% and no less. He got up and walked off. So it's concessionary. So the spiritual master has that power to give mercy in such a way that he could see that his Western disciples would have a hard time becoming Krishna conscious. So, you know, the mercy of the spiritual master is there. But we shouldn't take that. I think this aunt wants to give class here. He's on the microphone. We shouldn't take advantage of that and think I can become 70% and I'll stop there and I'll make it. That's just a sign of mercy. What it means is that was time, place, and circumstance. We should try to perfect our Krishna consciousness to the utmost. So don't use it as a concession. But you might say, well, if I give my best in my execution of Krishna conscious, and at the time of death I'm only 70% Krishna conscious, then Krishna might make up the other 30% and take you back. The idea is never to think that you have to stop at a lesser percentage. The idea is to try to perfect your Krishna consciousness completely. So it's not concessionary. although it appears to be.
Another point, Maharaj, Prabhupada also said that maximum of his disciples will go to Swarga. So how
he didn't say maximum, he used the word many.
Yeah.
Many.
So how to understand, because of their performing of Karma Mishta Bhakti?
No, because at one point they'll give up and they'll perform so much devotional service, and after some time they'll just take it easy. I don't want to get into the details of your question because it's quite embarrassing. But yes, what you're saying is what Prabhupada said. He could foresee that devotees wouldn't be able to continue on and reach perfection. He said, he didn't say maximum, he said many. He said it twice. So in other words, due to the credits that one attains from devotional service, they will reach the heavenly planets. And which means there is benefits for higher material happiness. But, Prabodhananda Saraswati in his prayers, he just says, he calls elevation to heavenly planets, he calls it akashpuspayate. He says it's, flowers in the sky. In other words, although the Bhagavatam talks about the glories of elevation to higher planets, it shouldn't be seen as a goal. It's just what it is. It's another part of the material world. And you have the example here, Indra's in that realm. But still, he's affected by negative qualities. Yeah. So I guess your question is why? Is that the question? Why does that happen?
Yeah, my question was that is it due to because of the performance of Karma Mishra Bhakti? Because practicality, when we are preaching and we are taking care of the devotees, we see that maximum devotees get stuck in this platform only.
Yeah.
The Karma Mishra Bhakti.
Yeah.
So the
way to get over that is to associate with advanced devotees. The way to move forward. If we don't take the association of devotees, especially those who are more advanced, then we may just, continue to stay on the level of Karma Mishra Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Bhakti in the mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. Bhakti tinged by the mode of goodness. So the antidote is sarusanga and advance. Sarusanga, sarusanga, sarva sastri hoy, lavamatta sarusange, sarva siddhi hoy. The one who continues to hear and serve great souls, and they'll gradually continue to make progress. Serving great souls means my spiritual master or those on the level of my spiritual master. Or those who are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. These are considered great souls. Getting their association, hearing from them, and finding opportunities to serve them will help one to move past that Karma Mishra Bhakti. But we have to take inventory and see what is it about my devotional service that I need to work on? What is holding me back? Is it offenses or is it an attachment to a certain material desires? You have to see. And then somehow or other try to eliminate it. But if you take association with devotees regularly and engage in devotional service, you will be able to see you're an artist. much easier. When you don't take quality association and you don't engage fully in devotional service, your anartha is kind of hard to sometimes see or remain hidden. But the association of especially of advanced devotees helps you see, because it's like a mirror in that association. Don't give up.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Jai Haribol, Haribol, Devaki Nandana.
Dandot Maharaj. Maharaj, we see here in this example, Lord Brahmaji is our Mahajan. Secondary creator and his Mahajan, we follow in his footsteps. He is trying to convince Prithu Maharaj, who is already in mode of goodness, he's a devotee. But on the other hand,
he's trying to convince Prithu Maharaj
to
stop.
To bring truce. But here Indra, Lord Indra, who is full of pride in this case, we see he's not being chastised by Lord Brahmaji. He's a wrongdoer. Lord Indra is on the wrong side of the fence. So sometime among devotees, somebody is on the wrong side, somebody is on the right side. Yes, we want to address both and try to bring truth and help. So how do we understand that the wrongdoer is not being chastised or addressed or, you know, given some instructions?
Well, the idea is that Brahma made a solution without having to do all that. So the solution was there. But you might say, well, that solution was a glorification of King Prithu. And this is one of the things that is prominent, is to glorify great souls for their glorious activities or their qualities. In this case, his qualities. His quality that he desisted from the activity just in obedience to Lord Brahma and not to cause, Brahma gave him the reason, not to cause any greater agitation with Lord Indra. You think by Brahma going to Indra and chastising Indra, you think Indra was going to change? Maybe, maybe not. But it seems like he wouldn't. It appears that way, anyway. So he solved the problem. And that's the most important thing, is solving the problem, not so much how you solve it. The problem was solved. Indra felt good that he was still number one. But his feeling good was also mixed with his false pride. And Prithu Maharaj is glorious for, taking the humble position. Well, if you take the number 100, it has 1 and 2 zeros. And if you take 99, it has 2 nines, that's 18. So that's higher. 18's higher than 1. Is that okay? In mathematics, 9 is a more important number than 1. So, well, yeah, but the idea is that the situation was solved nicely without having to go into, you know, chastising Indra and so many other things. And it resulted in glorification of Prithu Maharaj, and that's the important point. Prithu Maharaj was powerful. I mean, he was powerful. He had reasons to be proud, too, for his power and position. He was a Shaktivesha avatar. It mentions that he was a living entity, but he's Shaktivesh. And there's two kinds of Shaktivesh, one who's becomes Shaktivesh and one who is empowered to become a Shaktivesh. In other words, those who come to the material world, some are empowered already and others are become empowered. Like Srila Prabhupada, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. But Shakti Prabhupada wasn't empowered in Shaktivesh avatar. He came for this mission. He was sent by the Lord to do this work. That's Srila Prabhupada. Others become Shaktivesha avatar by their activities and by their qualities. That's an incarnation of the Lord, you know. So he's exalted. But in order not to disturb the situation, which might cause more irreligion, he took the humble position on the request of his superior, Lord Brahma. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at King Prithu, the four Kumaras worshipped him. They came just to see him and worship him. The four Kumaras are an incarnation of the manifestation of transcendental knowledge. He's glorious. But apparently his birth wasn't so glorious. He's coming from, you know, the body of his father who was a king, but he was a rogue. So you can see, you know, how glorious Prithu Maharaj has been shown by his activities here. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any other comments, questions? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.